So glad you're here today and chosen to be here with us in worship this morning. Lakes County Sheriff's Deputy told me that we were the only church open, so if that's good or bad. But we're thankful that you're here this morning and chosen to worship here. I was glad to see Roger and Lynn walk in, who are my neighbors, because that means I might be able to get back home. So I'll follow you guys, okay? But anyway, brand new family that joined our church recently, but so glad you're here. As we, in the midst of this sermon series, I'm thankful that you said, I will get up and come to church this morning. I will be there, even though it's raining and a hurricane's going on. But I want you to be safe. We all want to be safe going back. You know, it was 18 months ago, we kicked off the Above and Beyond campaign. And we've been living into that for the last 18 months. And 18 months ago, you said, most of you said, I will. I will be a part of that. And we've been blessed by so many ways through that campaign. And it's impacted so many generations. So I want you to listen to two folks share a bit of their story, when they made the decision to say, I will, from two different, entirely different generations. Watch this.
My name is Rufus Hardy. We have been in this church just a little over four years. We are from Marietta, Georgia. My wife, Susan, and I, we lived in Marietta for many years. And were members of a large Methodist church there. In that church, we saw a tremendous amount of growth over the years. Moving to Lexington, we moved here to be near our son and his wife, and we started looking at churches and wound up at Mount Horeb. We really liked what we found at Mount Horeb. We were impressed with the youth programs with the older adult programs as well. Very important to us being older adults. We got involved in the church, we joined, and have been very impressed with all the programs, the 39 and Holden for people like us, and watching the youth and young adult programs grow, because my wife and I firmly believe that the growth of a church hinges on the young people and their parents.
My name is Michaela. I'm in third grade, and I go to Lake Maria Elementary School. My thing is because I want to help build this thing, because I don't want the church to get too crowded. I want there to be able to get more and more people. I don't want it to just stay the same and the same and the same. Not a lot of people can come to church. So what I want is I want to give money to support Above and Beyond. I have this special bank, so every single dime goes to Above and Beyond. I know that dimes aren't a lot, they're only 10 cents, but they're very small and they can make a big difference. And I know that every dollar counts, so I don't want to miss out.
Once we got involved in the church, we realized that it was overcrowded there. Obviously, we're not enough Sunday school rooms for everybody, and the small group program filled a lot of that need, but we heard about the new building and knew that was a necessity, because without adequate classroom space, without adequate facilities for all of your programs, in my opinion, a church just will stagnate, and the continued growth is very important to continue the membership and the growth of a church.
The reason you need to give generously is because Above and Beyond needs to build this building. Because what happens if the building wasn't here? It would get crowded in this place. People would start leaving because it's going to get even more crowded than they can get anywhere. And people would start having to go up on the roof and they couldn't hear the praise band down here. We need this extra room. So I want people to give generously to Above and Beyond and other campaigns, because supporting others is the right thing to do.
Susan and I are very supportive of the Above and Beyond campaign and our new building, and we decided we would give generously as we could to support that program, and we have done it, and fortunately the building is coming along, and we're really looking forward to occupying that building in the near future, and I would encourage everybody to support our new facilities.
God's people said, amen, amen, amen. Well, I wanted you to hear that this morning, and also wanted you to know that Michaela, she's not here this morning for grandmother, but I asked them last night for permission to share this with you. If you don't know this about Michaela, Michaela is being raised by her grandmother, and Michaela's father is incarcerated. And so in the midst of all of that, you see the joy of being generous. And it's just a touching thing. One thing that Michaela said to us in that video that I picked up on this morning is she said, I don't want to miss out. I don't want to miss out. You know, Jesus, when it comes to treasure and comes to what we have, he doesn't want us to miss out either. In fact, he said it this way, and I'm going to ask you to stand for the reading of God's word as Jesus is speaking to us about not missing out on what he wants to do through us. In Matthew chapter 6, 19 through 24, Jesus said, don't store up treasures here on earth, where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Your eye is a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is good, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is bad, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. The word of God for the people of God. You may be seated. Now, gracious God, I ask that you take your word this morning and speak clearly into our hearts, that we would not miss out on what you want to do through us, that we would not miss out on heavenly opportunities. And we ask this in Christ's name, amen and amen. As I was looking out over the congregation this morning, have Ed and Sarah here on the front row, and some other folks back here also. You remember when this was a normal crowd at Mount Horeb, right? This is a big crowd, right? It's a big crowd. And so to see how far this church has come because of people like Ed and Sarah and others that are here this morning in investing in the kingdom. You know, it was Michaela's words and Rufus's words remind us of why we do what we do. I love what Tom Fitz said to me. Tom Fitz, if you don't know Tom, Tom is the co-chair of our building committee. He and Kevin Conley are leading that charge out there and spending hours every day kind of helping us get to where we need to be. Tom also served on our capital funds campaign, above and beyond. And Tom shared with me, you know, Tom was on our major gift team that went out and spoke to people about giving. And some of Tom's friends said to him, I bet you hate that, don't you? You know, just to be on that, have to ask people for money and that kind of stuff. And then forget what Tom said to me. Tom said, you know, I told them that, no, I really, really, and Tom, if you know Tom at all, Tom's kind of a quiet guy. He's not really outspoken. But he says, you know, I enjoy it because I get to go help people discover the joy of becoming a generous person. I know what it's done for me personally, and I get to go help people find that out and to discover that. And so that's what I think Jesus is doing here in this passage. You know, Jesus did not hesitate to talk about money. He talked about money pretty freely. In fact, 16 of his 38 parables deal with money. One out of every 10 verses in the New Testament deal with our treasure. Now, we all believe in prayer, right? Everybody here, right? We're a prayer-driven church. We talk about that a lot. We pray at the altar. We pray on Friday mornings. We prayer walk our building. We prayer walk our property. The scripture has 500 verses on prayer. That's a lot of verses, right? We believe in faith, right? My theme verse, I've said to you a couple weeks ago, Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith is important. Less than 500 verses on faith in the Bible. Guess how many verses there are on money or on treasure? Over 2,000 verses. Why? Because Jesus and God in his word given to us doesn't want us to miss out. Doesn't want us to miss out on what's important in life. You know, lay up your treasures in heaven and not on earth. I'm going to save part of this message so that I don't give you the whole message, because I'm preaching to the choir here. I know that. If you're here this morning, you're pretty committed. And so I want to save some of this for commitment weekend. And it reminds me of the farmer who went to church, and it was snowing and sleeting and it was bad weather, and he was the only one that showed up, one farmer. And so the preacher walked out and says, "Well, you know, since only you showed up, we just won't have church today." And the farmer said, "Well, preacher, whenever I go out and feed the cows, if only one cow shows up, I still feed the cows." Yeah. And so the preacher said, "Okay." So the preacher commenced to doing the service and went through the whole thing, and including the whole sermon. And when he got done, the farmer went out the door and says, "Preacher, when one cow shows up, I don't give him the whole load." So anyway, so I'm just going to give you a portion today of what God's laid in my heart. And the portion that I really want to talk about was the last part of the sermon. And that is has to do with something you've already done today, and that is sacrifice. You know, I'm going to talk about the keys of generosity. And the key I want to talk to you about the most today is sacrifice, our sacrifice. But not just our sacrifice. Today is a very special day, and I'm glad you're here today. Today is Communion Sunday, but it's not just any Communion Sunday. This is Worldwide Communion Sunday. This is a communion day when the church all across the world celebrate, remember what Jesus has done for us, what his sacrifice has made possible for us. You know, as we talked about the scripture on treasure, Jesus is preaching on treasure. Don't store up treasure here on the earth. Instead, store up treasures in heaven. I started thinking about what was Jesus' treasure? Now, it says in scripture he had nowhere to lay his head. So what was his treasure? I think two things come to mind about the treasure of Jesus. The first is his Heavenly Father, his love for his Heavenly Father. He taught us what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, which means put God first. Put God first before anything else. And that's really the teaching from Matthew 6, is put God first. And when you start looking at your treasure, make sure God's at the top of the list, that God comes first. And again, today, you guys have demonstrated that. You've chosen, in the midst of a hurricane, in the midst of the police saying, "Stay home," you said, "No, God's more important. I'm going to go and worship God." You didn't come because of me. I appreciate you coming. But you came because of God. And God's first in your life. But if that's Jesus' first treasure, what's his second treasure? What was his second treasure? What did he value the most? His second treasure, what do you think it was? People, absolutely. You. You and me are his treasure. Because that's why he laid down his life, right? He laid down his life for the world, for the sins of the world. So we are his treasure, and we celebrate that on Worldwide Communion Sunday, that he sacrificed his life. And I believe that until we understand that, until we embrace that, until we really believe that, we're never going to be generous people. We're always going to be people that look out for our own needs first, or our family's needs first. But whenever we understand that God has done this for us, that he laid down his life for us, that he died for his treasure, then we want to be sacrificial for him. Again, it's not because we have to. It's not because we are trying to earn anything. Our sacrifice for God and for Christ is out of gratitude. It's because of what he has done for us. And then secondly, his teaching principle here is so that we can store up treasures in heaven. You know, that there are investments in heaven that we make. So the question I want to ask you today as you think about communion is whenever we're going to celebrate the communion this morning, and we celebrate his sacrifice, you see, there's a cross that is at the front of his sacrifice, that his body was broken on a cross. His blood was shed on a cross. So when you look at your giving, and you look at your generosity, you look at your economy, put this up there. Is there an economic cross in your life? Is there a cross? Is your giving sacrificial as we seek to follow the example of our Lord Jesus? You know, when it comes to tithing, we believe that tithing is the biblical guide for us. Lynn and I began tithing many years ago, in early in ministry, and there was a time in our life where we wrestled with that, and we were newly married, and we struggled financially and wondering how we were going to pay the bills. There was a time that really I received a tough teaching on tithing. It was the morning that Ashley arrived, our daughter arrived, and the story goes that I was Lynn had went into labor at 8 o'clock, and midway through the night they said the baby Ashley's not going to make it unless we do a C-section. So they did an emergency C-section, and Ashley arrived in about 4 a.m. So about 7 a.m., maybe 8 a.m., the pastor from the church I was working at, Grace United Methodist in Springfield, where I was a youth minister and doing evangelism, came to the hospital and came to check on us. And he came to check on Lynn. How's Lynn? She's good. How's the new baby? The baby's fine. Well, let me pray with you. He did all the things he needed to do as a pastor. And then he had something on his mind. He said, Jeff, I need to talk to you. I said, okay. I'm a new dad, you know. I've been up all night. I'm good here. And he said, you know, Jeff, I'm concerned about something because I've noticed that you're not tithing to the church. I'm going, really? We're going to have this conversation right now. But what had happened in my life, let me just say what had happened. I confessed to him that I'd gotten upset at the church because the church wasn't doing what I thought it should be doing about something. And so I decided I wasn't going to give to the church. He quickly admonished me and told me that I needed to change my thinking on that. And then secondly, he kind of put in there this little thing, that if you want to work on the staff here, you're going to tithe to the church. I got the message. Now, with that said, and our staff would testify this, I don't go and ask any of our staff what they give. I don't want to know any of our staff give. But I encourage our staff to tithe, and I encourage our staff to be involved in giving. But that changed my direction from that day forward. It was a tough teaching to me. But I realized that I needed to honor God first, and that I needed to put, even though I had a new baby and I was excited, that God needed to come first in my life, and so that changed my. And I started listening to His teaching on tithing and generosity, and it began to change my whole life about perspective about wealth and money and treasure. And that's exactly what Jesus is saying to the disciples, and He's saying to us today. It's a tough teaching, but it's about sacrifice. You know, Lynn and I had been tithing since that time. Since I got my eyes opened up, but when Above and Beyond came, Lynn and I were challenged, as you were challenged, to give sacrificially, and so many of you in this church are giving sacrificially to Above and Beyond. So you have a cross in your giving. I love these words from Romans 3:25, where Paul writes, and I want us to read it together. Put that verse up there. So I want you to read this with me. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed His love, shedding His blood. I love that statement. People are made right with God when they believe what? That Jesus sacrificed His life. That's when we're made right with God. I think what makes our giving right? When we understand fully that God gave His Son and Jesus sacrificed His life, shedding His blood. Worldwide Communion is about remembering that today. So biblically, the tithe is our guide. It's what Lynn and I have been doing for the last 30, I guess, how long, when I was at Grace, Brian, doing math on the fly, not good. Huh? What's that? How is Ashley? There you go. Thank you. 32 years, right. 30. That's good. 32 years we've been tithing. There you go. That's good. I like that. 32 years we've been tithing. To put God first, and that's important, I believe. But let me just say this: tithing is the goal, but not the standard. Tithing is the goal, but not the standard. What is the standard for tithing? The cross is the standard. You know that. Aren't you glad that Jesus didn't give 10% of His blood? When we share in communion today, we don't celebrate 10% of His blood. We don't celebrate 10% of the broken body. We celebrate all of it. And because His sin, I mean, His blood covers all the sins of the world. And so we can celebrate that today. So generosity is always about sacrifice. And at the church here, we believe it's not equal. It's about equal sacrifice, not equal giving. Generosity is about equal sacrifice and not equal giving. That's why I love Michaela and Rufus. An example of equal sacrifice. Not necessarily equal giving. I mean, Michaela can't give what Rufus can give or what you can give or what I can give. But her sacrifice is just the same. In God's eyes, it is all the same. It's equal sacrifice, not equal giving. Now, one final quote for you this morning as you prepare to receive this sacrament. It's not what God wants from you, but what God wants for you. That's what all this is about. It's always about what God wants for you. And so while preaching on tithing and money and treasure is one of the things that we don't like to hear at church, I want you to hear this. It's what God wants for you. It's what God wants for you. God wants you to experience something incredible in generosity. You know, that God loves a what? What kind of giver? A cheerful giver. A joyful giver. Because they've learned that there's something greater. And that one day when we step into heaven, we will know the benefits of our giving. Now, you know, we're blessed to be. Can you imagine, Ed, I'll ask Ed and Sarah this question, put them on the spot. Did you ever imagine seeing a sanctuary like this?
No.
And did you ever imagine seeing a building going up like that?
Not in a million years,
right? You know, and so it was only possible because of the sacrifice of people that have been in this church for all these years. And now you're a part of that. And I don't know what, if the Lord allows us to be here 10 years, 15, 20 years from now, what this ministry will look like. But I'm trusting that God is not done with us yet, right? And so as long as we continue to be sacrificial in our service, in our time, in our giving, God's going to do great things here. But let it all be built on the foundation of what Jesus has done for us. And if we stay there, we'll always be in the right place. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, I thank you. I thank you for the sacrifice. Jesus' blood was shed. All of his blood was shed. His body was broken. And our sins are forgiven. Thank you that you love us that much. And Lord God, that you invite us into this great work of salvation. That we get to enjoy salvation. We get to be blessed with salvation, our sins forgiven, washed away. But also, God, you've invited us to be a part of building your kingdom so that those who don't know you would come to know you. I thank you for the words of Michaela that she didn't want to miss out on building your kingdom. And Lord, I thank you for these people here this morning, the sacrifice they've demonstrated just to be here, but the sacrifice they've also demonstrated in serving. I look across this room and most everybody here serves somewhere in this church. For those who give generously, who are helping to build a facility that will be here long after we're gone, that will make room for children and youth and people that don't know you, and that one day we'll in heaven experience the benefits, see the dividends, see the interest, see the account that we've laid up with you. And may you be glorified in all that we do here this morning as we worship now. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.